most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested in. So you have to tune in every single week. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com, and click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of all of our past guests. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and we're also on Stitcher.com. So just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box and you should be able to find us instantly. Now, if you want to find out about all of our future guests, you want to go to our official Question Reality website, and that address is QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. Now, we have been waiting for her. Oh, my goodness gracious. I've been so excited to say the name of this guest that's on today, Stacey Tenenbaum. It just sounds so powerful, doesn't it? Woo! She is a casting director, a writer, a producer, and she is the president of Gib a Kick Productions. No, I didn't say Gib and mess up. It's G-I-B. Gib a Kick Productions, and you can find her on Twitter at Stacey Tenenbaum, S-T-A-C-E-Y-T-E-N-E-N-B-A-U-M, and you can also find her on Facebook at Stacey Tenenbaum Casting, and of course, you can go to IMDb, and she is there as well. And we are going to be asking a lot of questions today. We're breaking it down into two categories. We are going to have some questions for her on how to become a casting director, and then the second half involves actor interest questions. So some of the questions are going to be, you know, what three characteristic traits do you feel are mandatory to become a successful casting director? Do you have, what kind of educational background or training does she recommend to prepare you if you want to become a casting director? Lots of questions. Actors, we're going to find out what the pet peeves are of casting directors when you audition. What does she want to see, or what do casting directors want to see? What don't they want to see? So we've got questions for both sides of the coin. So you have to tune in. Now, Stacey Tenenbaum, a little bit about her. She is, as I said, a cast director, writer, and producer based in Los Angeles. Now, when she was 17, she went to film school, and she got an MFA in the producers program at UCLA. And she spent her career working in both casting and development. And she has worked with some of the top casting directors and producers on dozens of series and pilots. Now, some of the ones that you may know, the more familiar ones, are Frasier, According to Jim, Reno 911, Parenthood, Covert Affairs, Perfect Couples, Smothered, and feature films like Marley and Me and Wanderlust. Now, as a freelance casting executive at Nickelodeon, she covered their huge slate of projects, including Marvin Marvin, See Dad Run, Hollywood Heights, iCarly, Victorious, Big Time Rush, and How to Rock. And she just completed the independent feature, The Wilderness. And she's very, very excited about her newly launched production and casting company, Give a Kick Productions. And it focuses on her casting and consulting and developing film, television, and internet projects, as well as her offering remote script consulting. This is very exciting, and I highly recommend you pay attention to that when we talk about that a little later. But this is a great service to have, especially if you don't live in LA or even in the United States, because you can do this with our private actor coaching over Skype. The wonderful world of computer allows us to do things like that. And now, again, you can like Stacey Tenenbaum's casting page on Facebook, Stacey Tenenbaum Casting, or follow her on Twitter at Stacey Tenenbaum. So without further ado, let's get excited and pump it up in here. Oh, my God. Stacey, how are you?
Hi, Priscilla. I'm doing great. Thanks for the lead-in.
Oh, my God. Well, you're just so impressive. Are we not impressive, Stacey Tenenbaum?
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, I just want to bring something up real quick. When I initially looked you up, did my research, I found that on IMDb, you helped to cast the pilot, I'm in Hell, starring Jason Biggs. And I had a little itsy-bitsy teeny whirl with Jason Biggs. And I'm wondering, what the hell happened to that pilot? Because I thought I was going to become a star based on that pilot. What went on?
Well, like the hundreds of pilots that are made every year, or 100 or so that get through the system, and then they wheedle it down until each network produces, I don't know how many it is, different years, about 25 or however many. And some years they pick up a lot and some years they pick up none. So that one, I think, was actually on the bubble for a while. And then ultimately they changed their mind.
They burst my damn bubble is what happened, Stacey Tenenbaum, and I love your name. That's why I say the whole full thing. It's just a star name. Now, let's start from the beginning and talk about when we're going to talk about the casting director aspect for people who want to pursue a career in casting. But first, I want to know, when you were a child, when you were a little Stacey Tenenbaum, what did you want to do or be when you grew up? You know how we wanted to be things. What did you want to do?
Well, you know what? When I was really, I think probably about 6 or 7, I was obsessed with old movies. And I would sit home and my brother and sister would go across the street and play in the park. And I would sit home and watch Saturday matinees, and I just adored them. And so I think I always knew I wanted to do something in the industry. And I started off wanting to act when I was a kid. And then as I got to know more about the industry, I sort of found other things as well. But I think for a lot of people, acting is the thing that is the most accessible because it's right in front. You see it. You see actors on the screen. You see what's going on. And
they make it so easy, and they make it look so easy.
Well, yeah.
Like, I can do that. I can do that. Everybody thinks they can do that, right?
Right. And you know, of course, I had a lot of other interests, but I always knew, you know, there was never, oh, well, maybe I'll go to, you know, take sciences and go to medical school or do something like that. No, always in the arts. So it was never a question for me, and I think that's probably how I landed in casting, was because it was something that was accessible. I went with my sister to an audition and said, hey, can I do an apprenticeship here? And so it was just one of those things. It was actually before I went to film school.
My.
And
It's like you're so lucky because so many of us do not know what we want to do, or we end up doing something totally different than what we wanted to do as a child. Now, when you were little and you told your family members about what you wanted to do, were they supportive of your choice to get in the entertainment industry?
They basically had the best philosophy ever. They're like, you can be anything you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. But you're going to go to school and you're going to get an education. So college was never an option. They're like, you can study whatever you want to study, but you're going to college. So that's what I did.
You're going to get a piece of paper, for God's sakes. Now, what do you feel, now you said you wanted to be an actor. Let's go back to that story where you went with your sister on an audition. Take us through that story.
Well, we basically, me, my brother, and my sister I was doing acting classes. I was doing different things as a kid and as a teenager. I think it was more of a hobby and less of, I definitely want to be an actor, but I knew I wanted to be in the vicinity of all that. And so we were constantly auditioning and doing things, and they got cast in a couple of things. I got a lot of callbacks. And I'm kind of happy I never got cast in anything, because I torment my brother and sister of, you know, their stuff that they did in their youth. But one day we went for one of my sister's auditions, and I just sort of saw all the stuff that was going on. And I think at that point I had an inkling that I wanted to see what was behind the camera. Mm-hmm. And that's how that landed. And actually working in that casting office was exactly what told me I never wanted to be an actor. because you just see it from such a practical level. And I highly recommend, if you are an actor and you want an opportunity to learn something about how casting works, to, you know, find your way, whether it's an internship or a reader, or anytime somebody needs a helper, because it really shows you, it's unfortunate, it's not always about how talented you are or what you have to offer. It's a numbers game, and there's so many things. So it just sort of put it in perspective for me. And even then, at 17, I didn't know that I wanted to have a career in casting, but I knew I really enjoyed actors, and I liked the process, and I liked being behind the camera more than in front of the camera.
Well, when you were 17 and casting, I would imagine, and you can answer this question because you're the expert, but I would imagine that it's changed a lot in 17 years. What did you see 17 years ago that really said, oh my God, I want to pursue a career in casting? And if you were 17 now, would you say the same thing?
Well, I think, the logistics have changed quite a little bit. I mean, at the time, it wasn't quite as digital as it is now. So we were going through mounds and mounds of headshots, and it was very tedious. So we're also still smoking in the office, but that's a whole other thing.
Right.
And it was a little bit, and, you know, VHS tapes and going through that kind of thing. But I think the actual process of casting is still pretty much the same. I mean, actors come in, you wait, and you go into the room, and you're on camera, you slate, you do your read. There's very little. The mechanics have changed a little bit, but what you're actually doing in casting is very, very similar, because it's still the same process. I mean, the biggest difference now is that there are times, if I'm working on a project that's a little smaller, or even a project where sometimes you have to move very quickly, you will just maybe cast somebody off a tape and you can send a link. Whereas before, if you wanted to even cast people off tape, which I think my sister was hired off of something 17, however many years ago, she was cast off of something that they brought in a bunch of kids and just said, you know, gave them whatever to read. And then the casting director just showed the producer a handful of kids for whatever role, and she didn't even have to audition for that specific role. So even the mechanics of what you do in casting, really, it hasn't changed so greatly. I think the biggest difference now versus then is that more and more casting directors are becoming digital and paperless and sort of moving it to that next level, because we move around so much, and to have binders and to have tons of headshots and tapes and everything, it's just so cumbersome. It just adds up.
Now, can you take me through the process? Can you take me through what happens on an average day as a casting director? You get up, you suck down the coffee or whatever you do in the morning. Go. What are you doing? People don't know.
I don't think
like
there's
you guys
a
are
specific
doing some
average
sort of,
day.
They think your lives are so like James Bond mysterious. Tell us what happens. What goes on?
Well, it's really not glamorous. Just to put it out there, it is the least glamorous job. Like so many other things in the industry, there's actually very little glamour. You just work hard. And if it's pilot season, you're going off of very little sleep and your day starts. I mean, I have a lot of times where my day starts before I get to the office. I mean, I wake up, I turn on my computer, look at my, pick up my phone, look at emails. And sometimes, I mean, they say it's the worst thing in the world to do, but, you start ground running from the minute you wake up and figure out, okay, what do I need to take care of or what do I need to be aware of right now at 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it is. And then what can I do on my ride into work and do that stuff and make calls and call New York and call places, check voicemail. And you kind of start the day before you start the day.
I'm sorry, we're having to overlap. I'm sorry. When you, as a casting director, when you have, say you finish a project and you go, okay, well, I got to look for my next project. So it's sort of like job hunting, right? What does a casting director do? Like actors go on Actors Access, regular people go on websites. Where do you go to look for your next project? Where do casting directors go?
Well, I think it's kind of tough because to a certain degree, it's they find you.
Okay.
So if you're lucky, they found you. Somebody has contacted you and said, I have this project coming up. And if you're finishing up one and you can, that's the ideal is that something comes just as you're finishing another one. But if not, it's one of those things. We are like actors. We're always hustling and looking for stuff. And because our relationships are with agents and managers, that's who we talk to. And we say, okay, who do you know? I'm available. This is what's going on. We have relationships with people at the studios and networks. And it's just a matter of keeping those contacts, keeping those relationships, producers and writers and directors and all those people, and sometimes even actors, because everybody now is a multi-hyphenate.
Right.
So people that you've worked on, I mean, one of the projects that I'm working on that is a part of my production company is a project that I literally stumbled onto because an actress that I had cast in a pilot had posted something that she was working on the script. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. You want to send me, you want me to read it. I read it, gave her notes, and we started working together with the idea, well, when it's ready to get made, and she had a producer at the time attached, and it was like, okay, well, you'll cast it. I'll give you this free development advice, and then you can be the casting director. So some of it is finding your own stuff and just building relationships. And now I am now working as the producer on this project, and hopefully we'll still be the casting director. And everything is a process of just letting people know. I get emails all the time. I get emails all the time from people who got my name from this person who knows this person who knows that person.
Exactly.
That's the networking process. And eventually you get out there. We also, within our Casting Society of America, we have our own board. If you're a producer and you're looking for a casting director, I know that that's another venue for you to post on there, and then you'll have casting directors. Like it's a job board basically, but
now
we look at the projects and say, would this be something we'd want to do?
What three, in your expert opinion, what three characteristic traits do you feel are mandatory to become a successful casting director? Because not everybody can do this job. I mean, you do have to have some inborn characteristic traits. What do you feel that they are?
Well, I think, first of all, passion for what you do and doing it not for the money, but because you love it is, I think, paramount for everything, whether it's acting or casting or pretty much any job in the industry, because it's really not, you're going to have to work very hard for a very long time before you actually get the money that will go with it. And sometimes you won't. So you have to be just excited to get up every day to do your job. And I think that to me is sort of goes without saying. And so being able to endure those long hours and just be happy you're there. The big thing I think for casting is memory. You just, and memory is something you're born with, but also something you can practice and develop. And it's a muscle. And the memory and watch a lot of TV and what sort of be aware of everything that's going around and watch movies and watch TV and go to comedy shows and have that sort of ability to recall everybody and then research.
What educational background or training would you recommend pursuing to kind of prepare you for a career as a casting director, or do you need any?
Well, it's one of those things that because there really aren't at most film schools, I went through two film schools, and while casting is something everybody deals with, they don't address it in the way that it probably should be addressed, and they don't regard it in that way. And I think I read somewhere that one of the schools is coming up with a casting program, but it's such an odd thing, because every casting director I've worked with had a different background. Some have come from acting or had some touch with acting like I did, where, you know, as a kid and a teenager, I was interested in it, but everybody has a different background, and it's really interesting, but everybody has the same love for it and just that natural aptitude with remembering actors. And that's something I could watch something or read something and I would instantly remember it. Not trying to remember it, I would just remember it. Now, having gone to film school, I think was a great thing for me to have. And probably had I been able to take theater classes, that would have been beneficial as well. But having the film school background, I think, was very important to just understand what everybody else around me is doing and what their needs are.
Yeah, it can't hurt. Now, what are some certifications that a casting director can get to improve their credibility? For example, we see at the end of some casting directors, we see CSA, and then, oh my gosh, I see so many CSA, CSD. There's like so many letters. I'm like, oh, I can figure that out, but what's that one mean? ASC, CDS? What are all of those little, letters, acronyms?
Well, I'm not sure.
I think that's
Canada. I'm not sure what the other ones are, but CSA is the Casting Society of America. And I'm a member, and you have to apply and you have to be sponsored to become a member. So when you see those letters after somebody's name, it means that a group of their peers have agreed this person is acceptable, as like that they are a legitimate casting director. Now, there are a lot of many legitimate casting directors who are not members of the Casting Society, but it's one of those things that if you're wondering what that is, it's our association. I'm also a member of our union, which is completely separate. So you can be one or the other or both. But it's what we have as our associations. If somebody's like WGA,
Writers,
they have sort of all in one, and the Writers Guild. So it's that's what CSA is.
So that's good.
But there's a lot of casting directors who don't have.
So the more letters, the better. I think that when we get into Canada, they've got CSA, CSD, A, and there's like so many. I'm like, what is that? And I got to remember. I want to look it up, and I just forget to look it up. But that's a good thing. So if you see CSA, that is a good thing to see on the end, but it's not necessarily –
no,
they're not like a Steven Spielberg of casting. You don't need to be in the Society of America.
Absolutely not. And there's a lot of people who aren't and don't want to be. And it's a choice that everybody has. To me, this is my community, and I wanted to be a member of
member
my community. So,
right. Just like SAG. You want to be a member of SAG? Why? Right. Yes, you do. But some people, no, I don't. Now, when you decided to become a casting director, you're like, that is it. This is it. And you were going full force. Was it difficult? Do you feel? No, let's not talk about way back then. Let's talk about now. If someone wanted to pursue it now, is it difficult to break into the field to be a casting director?
Well, I mean, it depends on what area you're talking about. If you're talking about, like, you want to be a casting director on a network TV show, well, like many positions, there's a hierarchy. You have to work your way up. So you have to start at the bottom and slowly get, it's very difficult to sort of, to suddenly wake up and say, I want to be a casting director, and then you're casting a top NBC show.
Yeah.
It almost never happens.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's just not how it works. And you probably would have a hard time succeeding if you actually were lucky enough to somehow get that job, because you need that background, you need that experience to work your way up. And you can make some more mistakes if let's say you have friends who are filmmakers and you have a knack for casting, and a lot of people do start this way, and they'll say, okay, I have this independent film, I have this short, I have something, and they'll go into it. And you could cast a movie with no experience. You could come in and cast something, and maybe you'll make some mistakes, but probably the movie will still get made and it'll be fine. But television works on such a different level and such a different, and again, we're not talking about a movie for like the big Warner Brothers Universal Pictures movie. We're talking about like some small movie. You could do it on your own, and that's a great way to do it. Will you get the actors that you want? I don't know. It depends on what your experience has been, what your relationships are with agents and managers, who you know. So all those things, it takes years and years and years to build up those connections and to build up that experience and learn from the people you're working with, which to me has been the most invaluable thing in the world.
So to get started, some of your suggestions would be maybe casting for a student film. Usually you're probably a student. If you're casting for that,
right.
You're part of the project. If you're not a student, where would you go to say, hey, can I cast your project? Who do you ask? Where do you go?
Well, I think like anybody, if you really want to be in casting, you have to sort of step back and go, okay, well, I might have such and such degree. Maybe I have an MBA. Maybe I have whatever your background is. If you want to work in casting, you have to say, all right, well, what kind of career do I want to have and what do I want to do? And if you want to work on those big projects, those network TV shows or the big budget studio movies, then you start as an intern. And, you know, you're going to have to work a few years building up those credits, and you'll have to have those other jobs and work a couple of jobs at a time. And then finally, somebody will think you've got enough experience, you have the right kind of confidence, you know what you're talking about, that they will say, all right, we'll hire you as the assistant. And I am the first person to say, when I have great interns, I'm always looking for jobs for them, and I'm always suggesting them. I'm always flinging them out and saying, I'll message them and say, hey, are you available now? Because I see somebody's looking for an assistant, and put them out there and give them those referrals. And if I'm able to bump them up, and you never know when that's going to be, when that opportunity is going to come to be able to get a paying job from an internship. And it happens. It does happen a lot.
It definitely does. I've heard the stories. I've got a lot of intern friends for casting directors, and they get opportunities all the time. One of my friends, every time I turn around, he's in a car commercial, a McDonald's commercial, a Budweiser commercial. I'm like, do you get these jobs through the person you're casting? And so it does happen. I mean, even if you're an actor and you're interning, it's a possibility. Okay, so I would say it's a competitive field. I would just say that. Not as competitive as actors looking for jobs, but I would imagine it's a competitive field. How do you as a cast director, let's talk about, I had a couple questions about this. This is why I'm asking you. They're like, well, I would love to be a casting director. I tried acting. I want to be a casting director. But I'm scared because I have heard that they get paid per project. And what do I do to supplement my income? So why don't you talk to us about people who want to be a casting director, but they're kind of afraid because they don't know how the pay scale works. So tell us, how does the casting director get paid? Can you recommend another job to supplement their income? You know, how does that work?
Well, it's a tough one because there's such a range, and it's the type of thing where you have to look at it and say, okay, any job you're going to take on, you have to look at it and say, is this worth, for the amount of money they're going to pay me, is this, can I live on this? Is this going to, can I be, am I able to do another job while I'm doing this? A lot of people will do more than one project at a time, and, or you'll have a bigger staff and you'll be able to balance. And many top casting directors, that's how you have a viable business, is you have multiple projects going at the same time. And which is great. I mean, I love working in those kind of offices. That's my favorite because you're never slow. You always have tons to do,
right.
And it keeps the day moving. As far as, it's very hard to say exactly like supplementing or not supplementing. Everybody has to have
project.
Their own thing.
It's per project.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you get paid per project.
How do you figure out, like, for example, if somebody came to you and said, Stacy, I want you to cast my web series. That's a new thing. Let's talk about that.
I want
you to cast my web series. How do you as a cast director figure out how much you need to tell them that you need to get paid? Or do they say, this is my budget for the casting director position? And then you say yay or nay based on the work.
Well, but that's really what it is. It's one or the other. You're either saying they're either telling you this is how much we have, or you're saying this is how much I need to make. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it specifically does come back to how much work is it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Can I figure, like, for the amount of money, let's say they have a limited amount of money and you look at it and say, okay, well, this is how much I need to be making on other projects to be able to support myself. So I'm going to break it down and say, okay, you have this many roles and this is how long it's going to take me. And sometimes if it's a really small project, I'll say to them, you know what, I'd love to do it. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to put out a breakdown. I'm going to have people submit with their reels, or sometimes I'll have people put themselves on tape and I'll send them to you. So I'm not even going to have auditions because that's not time that I have in my budget or that they have in their budget.
Mm.
And if they're happy with that, and I know actors that I've cast who were offered roles, and sometimes it is, I'll just make a list of people and send the producer the reels, this producer and director, I'll send them the reel and say, what do you think of these people? And they'll say who they like, and we'll cast the movie without anybody even knowing that they've been considered for it. And then you're offering them jobs, and actors are very, if they're available and interested in the project, they're very likely to appreciate not having to audition or even having to submit themselves.
Wow.
Because I, in my brain, have a large pool of people that I can say, oh, they would be perfect for this project.
Mm.
So there's that. And then also it's what the project is. If it's a project that I'm excited about, or a director, a writer, a producer, somebody attached that I really want to work with, well, then I'll say, you know what, I'm going to make it work. Because that's what feeds me as well. The same way an actor is likely to take a role that's less prestigious or well paid because it's a project that means something to them, or that they feel inspired by.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me. So there you go. There are the casting director questions. We hoped we covered them all for you. Now we are going to move into the hot topics, the actor interest questions. Everybody's been waiting. Let's talk about some of the common misconceptions that you think actors have about casting directors or auditions in general. I'm boy, have I heard a ton of them. But what do you think they are?
Well, I mean, first of all, the biggest thing is casting director, we want you to succeed. We want actors to come in and nail it. We want them to be so amazing, because the worst thing that we could do at the end of the day is walk out of the session with the producers or director, whoever, and say, oh my God, we have too many choices. That's sort of the worst case scenario of what we look at is, you know, we want that. We want to have too many choices. We want to have too many people that we love that just nail the role. So when an actor comes in, we're not looking to
find
for them to
or
fail.
Flaws or,
we are
or,
on your side always.
Yeah.
Our job a lot easier.
I'm glad you said that, because a lot of actors say, oh, I know that they already pre-casted, or this is just a formality. I could feel it. I'm like, what is wrong with you? If you walk in, nail the part, then they can say, great, checked off, next part. And then they can get their job done. So I don't even understand when actors think like that, but they do. They think that they're paranoid. Some of them, they think that it's been pre-cast and you're just going through a formality. But that's a psychological issue. We won't touch that. Now,
and the truth is,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I was going to say is, even when you start the casting process and you actually do have somebody in your mind, or let's say somebody came in and they just nailed it, well, that doesn't mean that somebody who comes after them might not knock that person out.
Right.
Because, and not for doing the same thing. Sometimes they are so opposite of anything we thought we ever wanted for that role. And that happens.
Exactly.
So
the person, you might not even physically look like the way it was written, but
no.
You just spark
and
it.
And don't go by that. If the casting director calls you in for an audition, even if you are so not what is on the paper, don't go by that. Go by, they called me in, do your thing.
Right.
And don't try to be what's on the paper. Be who, you know, if you're so far away from what they want, because sometimes it changes through the process. There's a reason we have brought a person in, and it's usually not because they fit exactly what the writer thought when they came up with it.
Yeah, perfect example of that, a friend of mine, blonde hair, blue eyes, just gorgeous. He went in to read for a role, and because they were looking for blonde hair, blue eyed guys, and then they turn around and cast Taylor Lautner, which is nothing like the blonde hair, blue eyed role. So there you go.
Right.
Perfect example.
Or Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate. I mean, Dustin Hoffman, the prototype for the role was Robert Redford.
Yeah, I remember.
Dustin Hoffman can't be the furthest thing away from Robert Redford. So,
right, perfect. And you know, who was that made that decision? I'm not a film aficionado, but who was it that said, you know, who? Let's go with this. This works better. Somebody did, and it was the right decision. So definitely don't go by what's on paper. Submit. Oh, do you recommend this? I say do it, but I'm going to let you answer a question. Like on Actors Access, you see a part, and they're looking for something totally different to you. Say they're looking for all Caucasian. If you're Asian or African-American, submit anyway. I mean, you never know. I mean, would you go so far as saying,
well,
yes?
Here's the one thing with that. I love Actors Access. I'm a big fan of it. I tell actors all the time, put themselves on there, make sure your reels are on up there, because I will release breakdowns to Actors Access. What I will say is you want to be careful is there's certain wordings that people will use, whether they want, like if a role needs to be one race or another or Caucasian, if it says all ethnicities, then it does. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I will say, if it's a woman's role, please don't submit if you're a man, and vice versa.
Well, definitely.
Read what the breakdown says.
Not for a man, woman, but what if it's, you know, they, so if you're, are you saying if they're specific and saying Caucasian?
If it's, read what it says. Just read the breakdown carefully. If it says, if it specifies Caucasian, there might be a reason, but if it doesn't say anything, Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I will tell people all the time, I mean, if I put any ethnicity, I mean any ethnicity. I don't mean I'm being PC and I just want Caucasian. But if I specify Asian, there's probably a reason why I want Asian for that role.
Got it.
If I'm creating a family, sometimes, you know, without having to rewrite something, they all need to be the same ethnicity, whatever that ethnicity might be.
Except in the case of The Neighbors, where they have the Asian boy. But there you go. See,
exactly. And that's a very specific thing where they probably said that.
They said that. Now, when you audition actors, what are some of the professional qualities that you want to see when they, from the moment they walk in that door, and also the things you don't want to see?
I want to see them prepared. I want to see them looking good, because they're going to be on camera. I mean, if the role is to play a bum, you don't have to method it. You know, come in, you can look scruffy, but I don't need to smell you along the way either. You know, it's right. Like sort of come prepared to do your thing and be, you know, sort of come do what you need to do and then leave. And, you know, if the producers or casting director, whoever is engaging you and wants to talk to you and have a conversation, that's a different story. But we don't need to hear everything. You know, you don't need to make any more of your time in the room.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, the amount of time that you're there, we've got so many people coming in and out, and we want your work to speak for it.
Right.
Because if you come in and you're a disaster and then you give a great performance, we might not always remember the great performance, because we're just, our minds are all over the place because you just came in and, you know, threw everything everywhere and made a big deal of trying to make the most of your time. And the basic things that people say all the time.
Yeah, actors get nervous sometimes, and for some reason they tend to just talk, so they have to watch that for sure. Don't do too much, and please don't extend your hand. I had a situation
No
handshaking. Oh my, you don't know the things that are on your hands, and they are, imagine it's 10 times worse. So leave your hands in your pockets. Okay. So how can actors, market themselves professionally and successfully today, with, relevance to social media?
Well, I mean, I think if you're doing those videos and you're doing, I keep up on Funny or Die, I keep up on everything. And the thing is that the good stuff always makes its way. So if you just keep working on those things, doing those shows, take classes, you know, the improv classes, Groundlings, UCB, Improv Olympic, doing all those things, it will eventually get to the people who need to see it, because we're looking for it. So if it's good enough, it'll eventually get passed around between people. And it does. We will find those gems, and we want to find those people. We want to be up on who's up and coming and who's interesting and who has some heat behind them. And it really is just like everything. Just be professional. If you have somebody's email, don't send them a million emails. Send them, you know, if you have a show coming out, if you have something, some video or something, then send it. But I don't want to hear from you three times a week or once a day or, you know, once a month, I think is probably even excessive, unless you really have something coming out. And everything, you just have to remember, don't ever pitch yourself don't call a casting office and pitch yourself or email somebody on Facebook to pitch yourself. It's those kind of things. Like, unfortunately, it will happen, and I will get those messages, and I have no choice but to just delete them. I can't look at them
it's too much. What is the best way, do you think, actors, what route can they take to get in front of you? But using social media, how do they get in front of the casting directors? I mean,
I think workshops are great. I mean, obviously do your research and figure out which ones sort of have the best reputation. They actually, if they don't make you audition, probably shouldn't go. Mm-hmm. Because you want to be at a workshop when you're ready. If you're at a stage where you're ready to be in front of a casting director, then I highly recommend workshops. I've met some amazing people in workshops. Some of my favorites are Actors Key, Scene Work, and ITA. I think, I mean, there's tons, but I'm very selective. I don't do workshops very often, and when I do them, I pick the ones that I think do the best selection process in bringing the best people forward, right, and not just a matter of taking somebody's money.
Right. They should be auditioning you first, and you got to be good to get
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Now, everybody knows or should know that Actors Access is one venue that casting projects find actors. What are some other legitimate websites that you would recommend? Because there are so many, and you know, they all want money.
Well,
so which one do you recommend that casting directors go to? I think there's like Breakdown Express or Breakdown. What are some other?
Well, Breakdowns and Actors Access are the same company.
Ah.
So I use Breakdowns as my main for everything. I love them there. And it's such a great company and such a great site. And then Actors Access is linked. So Actors Access is the individual actors. You can go and put yourself on there and pitch. And the Breakdown side of it is the agents and managers who do the same thing.
Okay.
So that is my go-to. I know some other people use LA Casting, but personally I find LA Casting is, maybe when I have filmmakers who are looking to cast stuff, they will use LA Casting.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the casting directors that I know, we use Breakdowns and Actors Access because that's what we use for everything. So there might be other ones, but they're just not ones that I happen to use. So I couldn't tell you what are the better ones.
Okay. Now what, we only have like 2 minutes to go, so I'm trying to get some, some good ones in. Let's talk about some of the scams that are going on that actors should know. People coming here from small towns come to LA. What should you absolutely avoid that you've heard about that actors should not,
I just think like everything, do your due diligence. Make sure if an agent or manager wants money from you, they're not legitimate. The same way, you know, you should be, the only things you should be paying for are headshots and classes and look and research,
workshops.
Do your research and ask and the workshops. And again, the workshops are bonded. So if they're not bonded, if they don't have the certifications they need to have, ask around. Ask people who are doing it, who know, you know, if you find somebody who is in a class or somewhere, ask them what they like. And, I mean, so many people in LA are acting. So you don't have to go far. You can go to the gym and ask people.
That's right. Anywhere you go, there's an actor, guaranteed.
Anywhere you go.
Anywhere you go. Now,
you know, it's a coffee shop.
There's an actor. Like, if you're turned to the left or right, if you're at a street corner, one of them is an actor. Okay. What? Last question. Now, currently you're offering script consulting and auditioning coaching service, and you're providing this remotely over Skype. So tell us how this help act and how we can contact you to do that. And we've got 1 minute. You're on a marathon answer here.
I know. So this is something I've been doing. It's through my company, and Skype coaching is a big thing right now. And I've done it a few times, and it's wonderful because you can have the coaching that you would want, the LA level coaching, but nobody has to leave their house or office or wherever they are. And so it gives people access to somebody who's getting notes. And I've also done it where I will feed them the material when they put themselves on tape for something. So they're getting my reading as well. But the Skype coaching is great. It's a great, listen, we're in a time where it's a great equalizer, that having this media leveled, everybody has access to everything in a legitimate way. And, you know, if you're somewhere in Iowa or wherever, you still have access to getting proper coaching and maybe putting yourself on tape for something or auditioning, because there's always stuff that's going on and that people are doing things remotely. And the same thing for the script consulting, because it's something I've been doing for years and was always limited to LA. But the truth is, the kind of work it is, it doesn't matter where you are.
London,
so
Germany,
those are all
Russia,
things.
You can do all of your prepping.
Absolutely.
Stacey, and then when you're ready, she'll say, come on over to America. You're ready. And that's
absolutely
it. You'll be ready to come to audition. And I'm glad that you do script. I love that you just told me that you will do script consultations, because I'm going to be sending a little script over to you. I didn't know you did that. So I'm going to be sending something over there. Okay. So everybody who wants to get in touch with Stacey, where do they contact you? Where do they go?
What's for now, everything. My website is still under construction.
Okay.
For now, they can either contact me through Stacey Tannenbaum Casting on Facebook, because there is a thing where you can send a message, or they can also send to info@giveakickprods.com.
Giveakickprods.com. Or they can reach you on Twitter.
And mention in the email that this is where they heard me.
Yes, on Question Reality, Priscilla Leona, Question Reality Radio Show. Get Stacey to help you, people. Get your Skype going. Just don't be sitting in front of her naked in front of the damn camera. Freak shows, only legitimate situations here. You never know. So if some freak show wants to do like a nude casting and they say it's for me,
Not happening.
Stacey, thank you so much. We had so many more questions that I feel so sad about that we didn't get to. So we are going to have to bring you back next year. Will you come back and answer the other 17 questions that we had for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Stacey,
so much for having me.
Say bye to your fans. Oh, you are casting a great project which is coming up. It is called, is it Wonderlust, or you just cast that, right? Wonderlust?
I worked on Wanderlust years ago.
Oh, Jesus, God. Woo!
It came out this past last summer. So.
I knew it was something recent in my mind. I'm all mixed up here now. Thank you so much, Stacey. Say goodbye to your fans.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey.
And have a good night.
Thank you, Stacey Tannenbaum fans. Thank you for tuning in to Question Reality, and we'll have Stacey next year. Have a great night. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.